Hi, this is Chris Neal, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
Studio 65 in the west end of our nation's capital. Welcome to season 3, episode number 5 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, November 12, 2014. I'm Cardinal, and Pan Canuck and I don't have a guest this week, so you'll have to put up with our usual it's free quality of show. Quick housekeeping: you can reach us on Twitter, you can reach us on Facebook, and the online forums at senscallups.com, and via email at podcast@senscallups.com. Pan? We're in another basement this week. I like this one.
I know. It's like I'm playing defense like Jared Cowan. Just all over the place.
Ow!
Yeah!
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm in the new house. I don't have furniture yet.
Well, we have a table. That's all we need.
Yeah, I know. I've been sleeping on a gel mat from Costco upstairs for the week. My back's starting to hurt.
How's that going?
It's going. Furniture gets here next Saturday.
You got the fridge stocked?
No.
There's an honest answer.
I'm still a single guy. This is so much pizza that they can hold. I got pizza. I've got cheese. Ginger ale because I drank all the cherry Coke.
You went to Costco for a case of cherry Coke? Mm. Yes, very much so.
So will you now admit that West is best?
No. Okay, well, here's the thing. Where my old house was, it was extremely easy. And the traffic really, it's... Once you're past downtown, you just fly.
Coming this way? Or you mean?
Yeah, so going westbound in the morning.
Oh,
because
yes.
I work just outside of downtown.
Absolutely.
In the old house. Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you now, too. It's a Blair and Ennis.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and light it on fire. I don't care.
Yeah, there are only a few houses down there. Just light one randomly. You might get the right one.
Who knows?
I'm not advocating that. I'm just pointing it out.
But yeah, because I was just like right on the on-ramp.
Yeah,
you were close.
And you cheat, so you just hang in the right lane that ends. Before the construction, too, it'd be 14 minutes to downtown. Now is a half hour.
Yeah.
Right to my new work. And now it's been a half hour because I'm leaving here at around 8.
That's not so bad, then.
So I think I'm behind most of the traffic. And with that, like, my work opens at 9:30 now, so it's...
Well, even better.
Yeah, so if I'm late, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how winter's going to be, though. But
well, I haven't lived in this far west of the city.
No,
I've lived further west, actually.
Yes, but that wasn't in this city.
No, but when I went, that's also quite a number of years ago. But
yes, Alberta.
No, Arne Prior. And driving in from Arne Prior every day, the drive was, even in the worst snowstorms, the drive was fine till Terry Fox.
Yeah,
and then from Terry Fox to downtown, it would take an hour and a half to 2 hours.
What? It's not like that now.
No, because there are more lanes now. There are more lanes.
Like half an hour to downtown.
We've got four lanes in our highway now.
It's sweet.
Yeah. What year was that, though? 10, 15 years?
It'd be about almost 20 years ago, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, we've lost the listeners here.
Well, just comparison of time, that's all.
If you like the Senators, you like Ottawa.
As a comparison,
traffic report here reporting on the Terry Fox Drive is very full.
When I was driving that route, I was actually watching the Palladium, as it was then called, being built.
Yes.
So,
what's it called now?
Don't fall
can't
into
say.
That.
Okay.
See, that's the thing with this new setup. I can see your hands.
Well, his fingers are moving. He's going to talk about the Canadian Tire Center. Yes.
There we go. All right, now that's out of the way, moving on.
No, well, that's the other thing. Because I went to the game against Winnipeg.
Yes.
Whatever day that was.
Saturday.
I I was able to, granted we ran to the curb, but get out, go to Centrum, have dinner, come here. It was 11:30. If I would have dropped off my buddy and then drove home, that would have been 11:15.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, you're close to the games.
You're much closer.
Very close to the games.
So close.
Yeah, so it was extremely close to the game. So that 20 days for the year is well worth the 20 days a month that I got to go to work.
20 sure. days a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I thought you said year.
So you're happy. The Reader's Digest condensed version of this is you're happy with your move.
Yeah, it's a much nicer house too.
Yeah, I agree actually. I haven't seen all of it, but I really like what I've seen so far.
And your mom's not upstairs.
Which is nice.
Yeah. Rest in peace, whatever her name was.
Yeah.
Oh, easy now.
No, you didn't hear?
The voice actor who did Mrs. Hollowitz on Big Bang Theory died today.
Yes, saw that.
So I don't know. If I had time...
Canuck put out a wreath.
Yeah.
How are you, Canuck?
I'm doing okay. Personal news, got a new car today.
A very nice one. I had a quick look at it just as we were coming in today.
Yeah, red nice Mazda one. 3.
And I learned something.
It's key-proof, too.
I'm sorry?
His car, he's got like this extra coating, so it's like key-proof. You should try it when you leave.
Shut up.
I don't key people's... Well, I shouldn't say I don't key people's cars. I rarely key people's cars. And you can't prove that I've ever done it, but I just put a little disclaimer in there. Actually, I learned...
Freaking cyclists.
I learned... Yeah. No, I don't... No, no. It's not a key. It's a U-lock. And it breaks taillights. I actually learned something. Your new car is a manual, and I had never seen a car with a manual that had a remote start on it. So learned something today. Kind of a neat idea. Now that we've completely bored the listeners with several minutes of non-hockey talk, are you ready?
Game on!
We're going back a little bit in time because we haven't been here in a week, just over a week actually. So this is back to last Saturday, the day we recorded with Todd Van Allen. This is the Senators in Boston playing the Bruins.
I didn't see this.
I listened to this because I was supposed to be doing something else and that didn't pan out. So I actually ended up hearing most of this game because I was driving and I saw some of it on TV though.
No refunds.
Not a great... I didn't miss a whole lot, basically. I didn't find Notch watching, and I didn't miss a whole lot. I'm going to make this recap really quick because we've got a bunch of them to get through. It was 1-0 late in the first period. As Leguan lost a face-off to Bergeron, it went straight back to Marchand, and Leonard just couldn't stop the shot. It was just in right away, 1-0. But...
I got Marchand on my pool, though, so that's okay.
38 seconds later, Mark Stone goes in on a 2-on-1, and everybody thought he had run out of space, goes up against the side of the net, little jam play, and he scores. To which Goody, I was listening to it on the radio at the time, and Gord Wilson said, "That's a goal scorer's goal right there." That bit of a cliche, but I was like, okay, I have to write that down because that was good. The good thing about this period, other than the fact that we ended at 1-1, was that Leguan and Turris were both 3-1 in the faceoff dot, which is nice. Because we haven't been doing too well in that these days.
So what happened in the next period?
In the second period, Erik Karlsson had a very, very bad minute and a half.
Oh.
Giveaway, trying to force feed a pass through the slot. It is picked up by Mark Fraser, skates in, scores at 11:14. At 12:42, another gamble by Erik Karlsson at the offensive blue line. And that's another turnover, and Mark Fraser scores again. Two goals. In a minute and 28. Matt Fraser has, I believe, 2 or 3 other NHL goals in total. He's not a goal scorer.
I don't know who he is.
No, not a goal scorer. But Ottawa did better in shots on goal in that period because after one period, it was Boston 10, Ottawa 5. After the second, it was Boston 20, Ottawa 15. So they were doing better. And Lazar went from 2-3 to 6-5 in the faceoff.
Yeah, when you just look at shots... Four and ignore the shots against. 15's pretty good for a period.
Well, 15 was two periods, but...
Oh, was it?
Yeah. 20 to 15.
Oh, okay.
That's two periods, not one. In the third period, Erik Karlsson has the puck on his stick in the slot, chips it over to the right wing boards, and it's picked up by Seidenberg, and he fires it past Leonard and scores 4-1. Erik Karlsson is now minus four on the night and caused three of them.
Trade him.
Bad game for him. Zibanejad scored late in the period, but it's just too little too late. Boston 4,
Sorry,
Ottawa 2.
Sorry, who scored
2.
That?
Zibanejad.
Oh.
And a goal that just doesn't really matter. Yeah. Because it's 4-2. It doesn't really matter. So basically, Erik Karlsson had a bad game. The team loses. The end. That's that. That's all there is for that game. Next game. Were we all at this game? The Red Wings game?
Yes.
Okay. I thought we were. We were all at it.
Oh, yes, we were.
Now, we'll go through the game as a game, and then we can talk about everything else about it afterwards.
I have no idea what happened.
We'll talk about that after the game is over, because well, that's part of what else happened at the game that I do want to talk about, but let's just finish the action on ice first.
I do remember Jimmy Howard being awesome.
He made some very, very amazing saves. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anderson was in goal. Boro and Mathot were scratched. Chiasson was a no-go right at game time. So Kondra was in, playing with Zibanejad and Milan Mikolic, and looked really good through this game. I thought he looked really good with that. Actually, that made that line much better and much more.
He had jump
relevant.
To him.
Yeah, but he made that line actually show up. Like not show up as in they weren't playing, but it made them noticeable by how good that they were.
Who was he with? Mikolic.
He was with Mikolic and Zibanejad. Yeah. The Senators basically came out flying and hemmed the Red Wings into their end for the entire period. At the end of the first period, I believe the shots on goal were 16-2 for Ottawa. Just ridiculous. Turris had a shorthanded breakaway, didn't score. The Sens did absolutely everything but score. There
was close, yeah.
Howard had an absolutely brilliant... We were sitting at the far end of the arena, so we couldn't see it, but there was an absolutely astonishing save by Howard on Ryan late in the period, which was off his toe, off Howard's toe, off the post and out. It was just, you know, an eighth of an inch, but he made that save.
Yeah, Ryan snake bit.
In the second period,
Well, hold on. What do you think that intermission went like? Paul McLean probably came out and just said...
Keep it up. I like it. Keep it up.
Shots are 16-2. You guys are doing great.
It's probably the best period ever.
It was.
Recent Sens hockey.
I was going to say that the shot count really did, I think it was a very accurate meter of how good the Senators were in that period.
Yes.
Like they really were good in that period.
Yes.
They just didn't score, unfortunately.
Because Howard was awesome.
He was. He was very, very good. And I've never been all that positive on Howard as a number one goaltender, but he looked really good that night. Really good.
Very similar to Chris Osgood, actually.
Second period, 3 minutes in, Turris' goal was waved off after a Detroit player crashed into Howard, and who stayed down for several seconds, and it was the I was going to blow the whistle rule. I was going to blow it even
blow
though
the
I hadn't
whistle because
it.
The player's
player.
Hurt.
Because the goalie was hurt after his own player crashed into him.
Which is not something that you can blow the whistle on.
Absolutely true. And actually, Pierre McGuire, I believe, said that. Day or two later. It's like, yeah, that shouldn't have happened. But anyway, that's what did happen. Later on in the period, Torres had another shorthanded breakaway, second of the game. Didn't score on that one either.
Yeah.
But the Red Wings were pushing back a lot in this game. It was a lot more. It was almost the reverse of the first period, but not quite. The Senators were okay, but the Red Wings were a lot better than they were. 14:37, Ottawa gets a power play goal from Erik Karlsson. And I noticed that...
That was a nice shot.
The assists go to Turris and Legwon. And I noticed in this game, all the power play units had two centers. Every time, there were two centers out there, which I thought was interesting.
Zibanejad plays the point.
Or Hoffman, or sometimes
Werkosh. Yeah, but Zibanejad's one of the centers.
But I was just noticing there's always two of them out, which I thought was kind of cool. Late in the period, there's a penalty kill, and Legwon gets a semi-breakaway while shorthanded, but didn't score. It was more of a three-on-two than a semi-breakaway. Beginning of the third period, Phillips plays one shift to kill off the Meister penalty.
Right? He was hurt.
It's come out that it was more that he was exhausted.
Wow.
Absolutely, you know, dehydrated, exhausted, worn out, couldn't go. It wasn't actually like a physical injury.
That might have been cramps.
Yeah, like dehydration kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he that and that's why he was out for a couple of games.
So did he have a post game?
Not good for that.
It was a post game basically conference where he said, "I was dehydrated, so I needed something cold and refreshing to drink." like Big Rig Gold.
Yeah, never mind that it's a diuretic. That's okay.
Never mind that.
2:34 Zetterberg scores, and the score is tied at 14:37 Weerkosh scores. It was a beautiful play too. Late in the period,
scratch him.
Late in the period, Hoffman started a back check at the Detroit blue line, and he was about 10 feet away from the guy who he was chasing. He caught him at our blue line, took the puck, turned around, and started skating back. And I was looking at it, going, "That's the speed I was seeing." Right after the lockout when we were at the open practices, and I was watching him going, he actually got away from Erik Karlsson. I'm like, wow, that was fast. He is I don't think TV honestly can show how fast he is.
No, because they're not going to pick him up in the screen.
Yeah, exactly. They're just,
they're not going to focus on it.
Yeah, they'll pan to him, but you're not going to be able to see an entire ice view and watch how fast he really, really is. That's one of the treats of being at a game is seeing that, because he is astonishingly fast.
Yes. And between him and Karlsson, they're the only two people that I've ever seen be able to do that.
Yep. Late in the period, Cowan took a penalty. Turris and MacArthur had a 2-on-1 on the penalty kill, but can't bury it. And at 19:02, MacArthur gets an empty net goal with an assist to CeCe. Detroit had more shots in this period. Dominance was sort of back and forth. The game ended with 30 shots on goal, 32-32. And face-offs were Detroit 33, Ottawa 31.
Not just any empty net goal, but a Big Mac goal.
It was a Big Mac minute goal.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that Big Mac minute. It was good.
From Clark MacArthur.
Yeah. For those that aren't in Ottawa and know what we're talking about.
Yes.
If a goal is scored in the last minute of the game by the Senators, you can take your ticket and get a free Big Mac at McDonald's the next day.
That's another difference between the East and the West here.
What?
I'll go and get my Big Mac out by my old house.
Mm-hmm.
And the McDonald's would have no clue why I'm giving them a hockey ticket.
Really?
And I went to the Terry Fox one, and the guy was just furious.
What do you mean? Like another one?
Another one.
Yeah. Well.
And he had a stack of them.
Of course.
They were so queued up. It was awesome.
I live in Centertown. This isn't news. I went to the one on Queen and Bank.
Yep.
And there must have been 15 sitting on the counter right next to the cash register.
Yep.
Just from that particular evening, I guess. I went, okay. A couple of quick notes at the end of the game. Anderson made 31 saves on 32 shots for a .969 save percentage. Erik Karlsson's time on ice, 30 minutes and 38 seconds. We were talking a few episodes ago that it would be really fun to have a guy by the name of Eriksson.
Yes.
Eriksson is a left-handed defenseman for Detroit.
Ooh.
So he could play with Karlsson. So Eriksson on the left and Karlsson on the right. That would be a moment of hilarity with Bob Cole.
Gonchar to Gonchar.
And by the way, I'm almost positive I double-checked this, but I'm not 100% sure that I did. Detroit has one right-handed shot. One.
Defense.
Whole forward.
I remember that was an issue with Alfredson last year.
I think I double-checked this because I heard it and I went, that's odd, but I think I double-checked it. Anyway, we'll have to go back and look at that later. Anyway, Sens win. Very entertaining game.
Like very important.
I honestly think you're right.
Honestly, it was a very, very entertaining game to watch.
It was. And a very important game too, a divisional rival.
Exactly right. Now, before we go on.
It was.
Ignore Boston.
It was.
Ignore Boston.
Before we go on to any more game recaps.
Yep.
Yeah. Before we go on to any more game recaps, we wanted to talk about the in-building experience of this particular game.
Because we were all in this. It started off in the Sens supporter section.
We did. Now, Pan sits in the front row of this section. Now, it isn't always the section for every game. There are only, what, 10 games?
10 games, and I've got 5 in my package.
Oh, dear. Okay. But there are.
I did have to move some, though, because the babies do. So.
It's only 10 games that it's officially like this huge Sens supporter section thing, but it's where the RSU usually sits as well.
Trial run.
Yeah.
It's not where they usually sit. It's in section 319.
Yeah, it's section 319, isn't it?
But that's where they sit even when it's not the official thing, isn't it?
Well, they started that.
There aren't that many there, I don't think, normally.
Oh really? Okay, I don't know. Yeah. You go to way more games than I do. I just thought that's where they usually congregate.
I think Graham's probably one of the guys. Is that?
He's the drummer.
Yeah. That's his name, Graham?
Yep.
He's there all the time.
Okay.
So I know him and Chris.
They have heritage in that section.
There might be more behind.
But sorry, they what?
They have heritage in that section. They started off with that.
Well, that's what I thought. It was on
they
their
kind of But I don't think they've really renewed.
But they've come back now.
Okay.
For those games.
For those games. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, there's been a lot of talk.
This is a migration issue, but no.
Yeah. There's been a lot of a talk about the RSU and those games. Now, we were there. I sat in that section for the home opener as well.
Yes.
And we were there for the Detroit game. And the Detroit game was louder. And there were more, I would say.
Well, they had the reporter there from the New York Times taking interviews and taking photos and doing his account. In fact, there was a New York Times sports front page article on this section.
Yes.
And Sportsnet just did a recap of this whole thing. So this is actually making national, I guess technically international news. So regardless of what we think, kudos to them. They're making waves and getting the press that they were looking for.
Well,
and it seems to be positive.
Yes.
I've been on record saying that I like the idea.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it when I wasn't sitting in it. That's the way I would phrase it. It's not my thing, but they certainly do bring noise and atmosphere and some, and they certainly got cheers going. And when you're in other parts of the building, you can hear them. So I think it's a great idea. It's just, it's not my thing.
I think it just needs some refining.
Some fine tuning. Yeah.
That they're working on it because between the Detroit game and the Toronto game, you mentioned that there were differences between the two.
Yep, absolutely.
Some of the guys were just trashed.
I thought the Detroit game was the worst example. They really kind of came in like the core that came in with the drummer.
Yep.
And I don't know if any RSU people listen to us, so we're not slagging on the idea. We're just describing it as observers who have our own opinions. They came in kind of that core group as a bunch of drunken frat boys.
Well, yes.
And they didn't really stop the whole time. They were constantly like slapping each other's back and scarves in their face and stuff. Like they looked like a bunch of drunken frat boys. Now, they were loud. They got the rest of the crowd going. In the section. They got the one guy who was drinking beer from his shoe and spilling it all over the place.
Yeah.
That didn't repeat itself, by the way.
No, but apparently that's a Rough Riders thing.
I think so. I think it was a CFL Rough Riders thing.
I don't understand.
Okay.
Ottawa Rough Riders. Sorry, I'm going to be specific.
Yeah, Ottawa Rough Riders.
I think that it's just not my thing. Like I've sat in the section and I mean, my biggest comment about being at the game for Detroit was I had to stand through the entire first period. I had no choice. If I wanted to
it
see
is
what's
a
going on,
standing
on the ice,
section pretty much only.
Yeah.
You can't sit and watch.
Now I'm tall, so I can see over most people, except for the guy who had a GoPro mounted on the front of his baseball cap in front of us.
Yeah, it's Sen Squatch in front of me.
That's true. But he was sitting most
until
of
you traded seats with your son.
No.
But
you can't see at all, so here you sit here.
Well, if there was somebody who was shorter standing behind me, they're not going to see anything.
Yeah. Well,
at all.
Yeah, your friend that you brought.
Yeah, they're not too tall. She's 5'5".
Yes.
So we were kind of playing dodge around the people in front of us so that we could actually see the ice. And it just got, it was ridiculous by the end of it. And I mean, if people want to do that and they want to sit in that section, that's fine. It's just, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
So
I don't understand the standing.
Well, you're more energetic and noisy when you stand.
It's quite,
it's just the way
but
it is.
I think the building, well,
the
again, it's, I guess it's a trial year and they can probably reconfigure a section so they'll be better to see.
I'm sure they'll do
which
something.
I assume is what
or
the original plan was.
Take the seats out and put in railings so it's easier to stand.
Yeah.
Like they could do that with part of a section.
Yeah, but I think they're just going to make the levels.
Well, that's poured concrete.
Them.
I don't know what they're going to do. But
well, they may level it out so there are fewer steps.
Yeah.
Like re-terrace it.
Yes.
It would be fewer seats or fewer positions overall, but make it
but
know,
that's
more
something,
conducive to that.
That's something that I think you need to change over time because you don't want to restructure the building for it at this point.
No.
Right.
And I like what they're doing. It's just Yeah. I don't want to be among them. I really enjoyed it when we eventually ended up several sections away from them. So we could hear them and we could see them, but I could also see the ice and I could sit down.
So
and
how long were you, did you make the whole game?
I did.
And you were in first
that's,
row.
That's very, very brave of you. Because it was loud. Like, it's really
so
loud
you,
in that
you could
section,
see the whole time honestly. Being in row A. So that was never
an issue. Yeah, so that's not an issue for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The drum.
It's pretty loud.
I don't know why you need a drum. Get some
it works.
Clapping.
To get people on the same cadence. Because otherwise, a crowd cannot keep the same speed.
Okay.
So a drum keeps them at the same cadence.
It was deafening.
Very much so. It was very loud.
They moved up after a while, too. The drummer was down like row C. I think he moved up to row K.
Because he was like right behind us.
Yes.
And high enough.
And I don't know if he can use, I don't know what the mallets are called.
Soft mallets.
Yeah, soft mallets. But then the sound wouldn't carry. And the reason they have a drum is they want it to.
Right. But versus soccer, soccer's open air.
Very much so.
So this is just bouncing off of stuff. Would not the soft mallet make it loud enough for their group to get
maybe
the beat?
Maybe. Can't say.
And I don't know. But that was a lot.
You lasted the whole game being row A. Cardinal, you...
I was in the same period as you.
We had to call a rep after.
After...
No, it's because your back was hurting too.
Yeah, well, my back was bothering me after standing for an entire period.
Yes.
So I made it about two periods. Yeah, I was there with both my kids. And it really isn't for everyone. And they know that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not opposed to it. Now, there's certain elements I don't like. And when I came back kind of the second period, well, first, there's two things I noticed. Is that one is the game's going on and I'm not getting the whole game because I'm busy watching what's going on, looking down to make sure, you know, because it's like first time my kids are in this section. Are you okay? You know, and yeah, they're fine. They did great. But,
yes,
you know, I'm
well.
Constantly looking to make sure, you know, because there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of things going on. There's people standing. I'm making sure they're okay. And it's like, wow, I'm missing a game here. There's all kinds of heads in front of you. You don't get a good view of the ice because everyone's standing. You're just part of this kind of mob, if you will. And so you do miss a lot of stuff going on. The other thing, too, is when I did come back after taking a concession break during the middle of the second period, there was just beer puddled. I don't mean just like, you know, sticky floor. I mean just puddled where we're supposed to be.
Well, there was a puddle of it after the first period that my feet were already sticking to the floor.
Yeah. And I mean like visible.
I almost slipped.
After one. But your daughter was really funny because she really got into the ref you suck chance.
Oh.
I have to admit, I was laughing because it was really cute. I'm like, you are into this.
Hang on. Well, excuse to scream and yell and be
absolutely.
Silly, you know, as long as it's, you know, controlled and stuff.
It wasn't stupid. It was just,
and I think they cleaned up their language a bit too.
They did. Actually, the people behind us, I actually overheard them when we arrived, I guess you and I arrived at it, but you were there just before I was.
Yep.
And then they came in, they went, oh, kids, I guess we'll have to clean up our language tonight. And they did. And I mean, full credit to them for doing that, because there are some people who would just say, well, screw it, I paid my money, I'm going to, you know, yell
it's
at whatever
really
profanities
hard to control
I want.
Your language.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I watched the third period over with you, kind of the opposite corner.
Yeah.
And I watched the game.
Well, we could
watch
the game.
It was a lot quiet over there, but you could watch. You could definitely hear 319 from the rest of it. So it's very cool, as you talked about, to see them going and to hear them from the other part of the arena. But I actually watched and enjoyed the game where I found like it was almost like being in a – and in my case, you know, it's like you're downtown – New York City and you get your kids and you're constantly looking, you know, making sure they're okay. And, you know, and everything's going all right, but you're just, you're distracted.
It's definitely not a family.
And then I was just like sitting back and I was like, oh, now I can watch. Yeah. Now I can relax. Now my ears can breathe. And that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. I found it extremely difficult to concentrate onto the game. And I'm used to being with a 3-year-old talking to two of my friends and always on my phone.
And you
during
were
distracted. A game, and I'm fine. And that I just couldn't focus.
Well, it's loud.
But it's loud. So, okay, you're doing exactly what you want, and the reception has been good. Great. Good. It's not really my thing either, and I was thinking about it. It's like, is it because I'm older now? But
well,
then I thought, okay,
maybe.
You're asking me that?
No, but the thing is, like, would I do this 10 years ago?
I can honestly say if I was still in university, like in it still wouldn't have been my thing because I go to a hockey game to watch a hockey game.
And it becomes expensive after time.
Well, yeah.
So I like some elements of it. I was totally against this at the start when I heard about it, but I'm adjusting to it. As long as you're controlling your language and the drinking, because it was just absurd.
Those things have been clamped down on.
Okay, that's
which
good.
Is good.
Yeah.
It can be a party. It just doesn't have to be a frat party.
Right.
Or an orientation, you know, just that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of that's what it exactly felt like to me was, now I'm going back when orientation was, you know, everybody was legal drinking age or, mm-hmm. you know, they weren't and nobody cared.
That's what Gatineau's
a little
for.
Bit of column A, a little bit of column B. And that's kind of what it felt like. It's like, oh, great, I'm back in orientation again. And I mean, other than that, I love the concept. I truly, truly do. And I think that in time it will be refined and polished and be better, even better than it is now.
But it okay.
It's just not something I want to sit in. I don't mind sitting near.
And as the organization, too, I totally agree with that. But also, right now it's how many people would you say participate in that? 70?
Well, I'd say more than
I'd
that.
Say at least that.
Okay. At least that.
So you've got these 70 people that are having a great time and good for you. But the organization also needs this atmosphere to grow out and to be inclusive. And I'm pretty sure it was the RSU that came out with the Pajot chant.
It'll come.
Or whatever that was, and it just picked right up, and then we kept it.
Yeah.
And that's how you Sens fans need to build our own identity.
Yeah.
And not copy other chants and other songs. I don't, the songs don't work, but...
I think that'll come once people get used to the idea of doing this.
Yes.
Then you can introduce more original content once they're accustomed to it. But if you try and do that right away, they're like, well, I don't know what this is and I don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Right.
So it'll take some time. I do fully support the concept and I hope it works.
Because we're on topic, I'm going to fast forward to the Leaf experience. So I'm not going to talk about the game so much, but
like no one wants to do that.
Yeah, but you know, on the next game was the Sunday game versus Toronto. And I was there and I was pretty much hanging out at the back of the group. And definitely they were on board with the being careful and swearing and drinking. In fact, I think they started very early and FU Kessel. And, you know, even the ushers and stuff were like, that's a swear word. And they were running up and down the aisles telling them to stop, and they did.
Okay.
And so there was a concerted effort to not swear. So good on them. They managed it very well.
Excellent.
And I didn't see the crazy drinking, too. There was a lot of security in that section.
Well, I imagine
they were watching like a hawk. So that's probably
what I was concerned that thing was just going to be a brawl.
Well, that happened somewhere else. That's what
the 200. I was standing kind of between the 319, 320, kind of right up there.
Okay.
And then 320, the next section over, of course, there's a ton of Leaf fans. And I'm telling you, at the beginning, when they were looking over like, what the hell is this? Oh. Like, they were actually bothered by it.
Oh.
In a good way, in the way you want them to be bothered by it. So it was effective that way.
Sit down and be quiet.
it was interesting though, as Toronto scored a little bit later and their bravado increased, like one fan like ran up and down the aisle and they kind of taunting the section. I thought, man. Now there was taunting back and forth, of course there was, but 319 didn't like run up and down the stairs and like single out, you know, pointing at other Leaf fans. They just turned and celebrated amongst themselves and cheered and stuff. So it was quite well done.
Yeah, it's I think that's in their mandate too, to not put down the other fans.
Well, there was one guy with a Leafs jersey in 319. He seemed to be there with a group of his friends, knowing what he's going to, and everybody around him started chanting,
"Get him!
Take it off! Take it off!"
Nice.
And he did. He took off his Leafs jersey. But that was his friends.
But like things like that, like that's fun. That's
they
fun.
Had some good chants though, like in things that will catch on. Because when they chant, you know, when the Sens go marching in, the RSU will be in that number forever, whatever. Like that will stay in the section. That probably won't grow because someone on the other side of the arena aren't going to say the RSU will be there forever.
Yeah.
But when Hoffman got a goal, they're like, Hoffman, Hoffman. Yeah. And I started hearing it around the arena. It's like, well, that's brilliant.
You know, exactly. It needs to be a little less egocentric.
and a little more word
cheerleaders. Yes.
Yeah, it'll come. Yeah. So
and with that too, like it's also got to be interactive with the game experience.
Yep.
They were doing that in Toronto, I found a lot. Like, I heard a lot of cues from, I assume Alex, but whoever the music director is, would put, like, white stripes on, and then they would take the cue and do the, and then different things like that. And
yeah, so that's what we need to, that's what they need to do to make it more involved, and I think that that will grow. And you've really got to do something with the goal song.
They need to learn that so that they can sing it when it gets played.
That'd be fun.
Yep.
And then he can leave it playing longer or something, right?
Can you play it?
I don't have it without the goal horn there, but you heard it earlier.
I'll just play it with the goal horn.
Right now?
Yeah. Because I'll throw in my ideas.
Something like that.
It's a little Chicago-like. That's not bad.
Yep. And that's why it works very well in Chicago.
Simple and straightforward.
New York City. The Kings.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. All right. Good talk on the RSU there. And what they're doing now.
I was mad. I'm less mad now.
You're less mad now?
I'm less mad.
So, in summary.
Because of your action or your reaction to the Toronto game.
It's a lot better. In summary, I just want to say that we sound like we're being negative Nellies.
No, not at all.
I think because we got a lot of feedback from other people too. Mm-hmm. And really, it's just torn. Like, people appreciate it, but they recognize it as not being their thing.
Exactly.
And don't, if you're an RSU person, you're an Avon, you're listening to this, it's like, don't take that as negative feedback. That's just admittance that there's certain kind of fans. I like what you're doing. I like to support it, but I prefer to like get encapsulated in the game and watch. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be loud. It just means I'm not going to be the same kind of loud as you.
I'm not going to be loud as much.
I'm going to be reactive to what's going on. If absolutely you want to start a, you know, a Hoffman or Go Sens Go and that kind of stuff, I'll join in.
But. Absolutely. Exactly right.
Or the Timber after the fight if you win it.
Timber.
I think is that Jakubek that does
that's
it?
That's AJ Jakubek,
yeah. I like that.
Just like get the lawnmower going. That's the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you don't know that one?
No.
Okay, that's a junior hockey thing. You'd have to listen to more 67s game to hear that one, I guess.
No.
Anyway, let's get back to game summary so we can go and talk about
the next game. That was wild.
The next game.
Yeah!
Boy. Thursday, November 6th, the Minnesota Wild were in town. And I was at that game.
Did you pick up your Zibanejad
bobblehead? I do have a Zibanejad bobblehead. Yes,
it looks nothing like him.
Yeah. No bobblehead looks like any of the players.
I still love the Chris Phillips one. Full head of hair.
Well, was it not last year that the Daniel Alfredson one in Detroit looked like Mike Modano? That's what I thought so.
It probably was Mike Modano one.
Could be. Well, he was there a couple of years before.
They're well constructed, though. They're pretty like... Well, I don't know if the head comes off easily, but they're quite solid. Like they're.
I didn't take it out of the box.
They're not flimsy.
I just looked at it.
I had the
I don't
we'll,
know.
We'll give it away later.
I don't know why people collect these things, but okay, we'll give that away. I got a couple of scarves that can go with that too.
Yeah, we'll do a prize pack at some point. But the funny part is if you look at it, he's holding the stick wrong.
Oh, I have to look at that.
Both hands forward.
I know.
That's a face-off pose.
That's right. It's a face-off.
And I think I saw it on Twitter. It's like, no wonder he can't score.
Well, that could be it, too. I was at that game. I was a guest of a listener. Thank you very much, Sylvie. It was very kind to invite me, and I had a great time. We had some awesome seats, too. It was wonderful.
Yeah, because you invited me down. It was the 100 level.
Oh, no. You guys got awesome. Upgraded, I guess?
We got upgraded to row G, directly behind the goal.
Were you above the glass?
No.
Actually, there doesn't really matter because the corners, you can see it.
Yeah.
Well, it's for a true view of the whole game, I'd rather be at the back of that.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's still pretty darn fun to be like, six rows back?
Seven rows back, yeah.
Yeah.
It was wonderful because we had a view of almost all the goals and a couple of absolutely outstanding saves.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
That was the Andy shutout night.
It was the Andy shutout night. Who has the game summary for this one?
Who knows?
news.
Okay, so there is no game summary.
It's been one of those weeks.
All right. Yeah, we have a couple, we may not have a couple of these games with a summary. Very quickly, there was one save particularly made by Craig Anderson with about 5 minutes left.
Yes.
That all three of us thought was going in, and we had to watch. It was like, okay, I think it was off his toe. And honestly, that save looked even better in the replay on TV when I got home than seeing it live from right really? Behind him. But it was, I mean, how he actually made that save, I still am not sure.
Well, because you're so close.
Oh, I remember. That was a Kiprusoff one where he scorpioned up his leg.
No, that was the Detroit game.
No, no, no.
Oh, was it? Okay.
No, this was, you know, it didn't necessarily look
again, this
like
is
much.
Free.
I didn't think. I'll have to watch the replay, but I just remember staring. We were right behind the goal net. You get the wide eyes look there. You see this big open place. You see the opposition player. I don't remember the skater.
I can't remember who's
going. And it's just like, oh, yeah, that's going in. All of a sudden, this leg comes out of nowhere and blocks it. Like, yeah. What?
It was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. But it was a great game. I mean, not just because of where we were sitting. Again, it was an entertaining game, but where we were sitting made it even more so.
MacArthur got a beautiful goal in this one.
Yes, he did.
And then Grabba got his squeaker.
I tweeted a picture of it, of that particular goal celebration. Yeah.
It's really interesting what you can do now with multimedia, especially the NHL Game Center. I was pulling that up and showing you guys.
Yes, it was wild.
The trouble is it's like
no pun intended.
It's at least a minute delayed from real time. At least a minute.
Well, it would have to be.
But you know, just you can pull up the goalie.
That was good play.
Sure, but you can pull up the ref cam. Like it had the ref cam or
linesman cam now, by the way.
Or the goal. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Or the goal cam.
They moved it to the linesman.
They moved it to the linesman?
Yeah.
Or the goal cam.
Okay, that would make sense because I saw one the other day, which was a face-off. And it was from the point of view of the linesman looking down as he dropped the puck. And I went, okay, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and you know why else he changed that?
Liability.
Because O'Rourke keeps screwing up.
Well, there are a number of them, O'Rourke, Peel, you name it, they keep screwing up.
That should be a signal, yeah, but NHL.
No, this way they can cover it up and keep giving them games. But anyway, it was a great game.
Keep it for your own internal use.
If we don't have a game summary, let's move on.
No. Well, we're talking about the game.
Well, I'll just say that it was kind of fun because you pull up the on my phone, like the goalie cam, which is like the overhead cam look. Mm-hmm. So after that kind of squeaker goal came in, I said, here, wait for it. And we were just watching it. And of course, you can see it about a minute later, the goal coming in.
That was the Hoffman one, wasn't it?
Oh, whoever.
I think so.
Yeah, the last one.
Sens goal.
Yeah, that was a nice one, too.
Yeah, sweet. Right. On to the next game summary. Saturday, November 8th. This is the Jets in town versus the Senators.
CB Inc.'s got the next two.
CB Inc. has this one and the Maple Leafs game. So, Canuck, you have this one?
I can. Let me just pull it up here.
That's what she said.
This is CB Inc. reporting deep behind enemy lines south of 401. I'm going to give the game recap for November the 8th against Winnipeg and the thing that happened on November the 9th. Chris Neal scores about halfway through the first off a nice pass from Zibanejad and Mikhailik, but before the period is over, Toby Enstrom scores from the blue line, tying the game at 1. It stays that way even through the full 5 minutes of overtime. Fantastic play on both sides. And we go to the shootout, which goes to a full 6 shooters, and Matthew Perreault scores on the nearly flawless Anderson. Sens lose, but pick up the point. CB Inc.'s 3 stars, Anderson, Pavlik, and Turris. And now for the game that no one wants to remember from November the 9th. A makeup game against the Screaming Trees. A 5-3 loss with very little to talk about for the Senators. So I'm going to give some highlights from the forums that night. They always seem to have their worst for the laughs, and I love that, you know? Oh, look, they lost. This sucks. Such a frustrating game. Damn it. And my favorite, that wasn't a very good power play. There were just no stars for this game. I refuse to give a star to a Leaf, unless it's a gold star for spelling.
You know what's interesting when they actually had the 3 stars, and when it's the Toronto players being called for it, they actually come out and do their curtain call.
Of course they do.
Yeah. All of them do now. It's not only Toronto.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I've seen.
I don't.
If the other team wins, they come out.
Really?
Yep.
No.
Mm.
I don't.
You sure?
I don't stay for that sort of thing.
We don't normally stay that long, though.
Listeners?
I'm actually out of the building by the time they're being announced. So I stay till the final buzzer, but I don't stay after that.
Was it? Yeah. In, well, the Winnipeg game, Ryan was out. Jason's out. Phillips is out. And Carlson was friggin' awful. That was a dirty game. They couldn't connect anything.
Which one? The Jets game?
The Jets game.
That's unfortunate.
You know what? We went in this, well, there was a lot of games in this break. I know we still have one more we're going to talk about, but or at least give a quick recap of. But you know, we went 2-2-2, but those six games since our last recording.
Oh, okay.
Which doesn't sound too bad. You know, it's like
That's more like 3-2-4.
Oh, your two losses against divisions.
But the thing is that game, that loss against the Leafs. I don't.
I was up.
That hurts.
I was up at a friend's cottage.
And they leapfrogged us too.
Yeah.
I was up at a friend's cottage, but somebody brought up a satellite box. So parts. I was watching parts of the game. I was actually cooking for 12 that night, so I didn't have a lot of time to watch the game. But I watched bits and pieces.
Sounds like too many cooks.
No, just one. One me, one barbecue, and a lot of pork tenderloin. It was delicious. The one thing that struck me watching that game, I think most of the second period, was Leonard did not look very good. He had some really whacked out rebounds and
what
deflections and stuff going on.
What kind of voodoo doll did the Toronto Maple Leafs have?
Or Toronto?
The Toronto game.
Toronto game. Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Winnipeg was Anderson. No.
He did not look good at all.
I don't know why they didn't play Anderson.
Who has the voodoo doll, the Sens voodoo doll with the Maple Leafs? Because there's two incredibly stupid goals that go in, and it's the ghost of Lalime or something. First was a shot. The first goal that Toronto got. Ottawa won nothing.
Yep.
Toronto tied it. And the goal was shot from the side, you know, like.
Is that the one that CeCe tipped in?
I don't know, but it went between the legs of Leonard and just squeezed over the line. Goal.
Yeah.
The one that went off CeCe's stick and just rose a little bit and then hit Leonard's stick and deflected up and stuck in the top of the net.
No, not that one.
That was in the second.
Oh, period. I forgot about that one, yeah.
That one was weird enough. But then
the second
goal, though, was the bounce way up in the air over his head.
And lands behind him somehow.
And then Van Riemsdyk or whatever. And
reached
just,
in.
Just
okay, I didn't see
in.
That one.
Those are stupid goals.
Yeah.
And like, they all have to happen now.
And they all happen against the Leafs.
Can't say.
Is it nerves?
I don't know.
It might be.
He just didn't. It's
got to be intimidating to play with a crowd like that.
I'm surprised that Paul McLean left him in as long as he did. He looked like he was struggling.
It was tied.
It was 3-3.
He wasn't playing bad.
It was just these stupid goals.
He was having a normal Leonard night. The defense was freaking awful.
Okay. I didn't see the whole game. Yeah. I only saw bits and pieces of it. So
Leonard, you know he's going to give up the rebounds, but holy crap, they were not helping him at all.
That's
they were not.
And him. Ottawa had lots of chances, and they wouldn't go in because friggin' Reimer, was it?
Reimer's right? Got her number.
Reimer seems to crank it up 10 degrees when he's in our arena.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Anderson played against Detroit and against
Winnipeg.
He played Winnipeg the week before.
But he also played against Minnesota.
Yes.
So why did he play against Winnipeg?
I was surprised at that too. I thought they'd give Anderson Toronto.
You normally play Anderson against Toronto, but last
year... It was a gut call.
Last year he was all... No, that's your Winnipeg game. It was back-to-back.
It was a gut call. Like, why didn't they have Leonard play
against Winnipeg?
They should have done that, but I think last year Anderson was god-awful against Toronto.
He struggled against everybody last year.
It was
year.
Just a gut call by McLean.
Okay. No, that's fine.
That's a schedule. That's a schedule.
I was wondering.
Well...
That's a schedule.
Well, why didn't he give Leonard Saturday and give Anderson Sunday?
Because I think they want to see how Leonard would do because Anderson was so bad against them.
That's what I mean. It was just a gut call on that part. But
yes,
the thing is...
Strategically, you play your start against a division.
Sorry, that's what I'm getting at. A gut call as to who got which one. But
Leonard also got lit up by Boston.
Mm.
Yeah.
Big style.
But the thing is...
Another division.
Anderson kept them in that Jets game. He got them the point.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a bad move to put Anderson in.
I'm not saying it was. I'm just
it's
wondering
just like,
why.
I think we all would have conceded 2 points to win 2 points against the Leafs. And
I don't think big time.
I don't think it was goaltending that lost us, despite what people are trying to say.
I would prefer to see Craig Anderson play against Toronto.
Me too.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line.
Yes, you always play your starter.
I can't complain about the goalies. I've been doing great. But
I was wondering if there was something that I hadn't heard.
Would he have made a difference?
Can't say.
I don't.
Leonard will not make those same mistakes again. You can't make those two mistakes again. Those are like once in a season mistakes. Like that puck that comes way up in the air, comes down. Like
it was
come
like
on.
20 feet up in the air too. It was nuts.
And that weird trickle puck that somehow got through him. Like he's not going to do that again.
It just happens.
Why this game?
Well, because that's why. Just because
these games are hard to watch. I think I'm like Shredder now. What does he say? Well, I can't watch these games.
Okay, then we'll move on from that game. We'll move on from that game.
To the snooze fest.
To yesterday, which was Tuesday, November 11th.
It wasn't really a snooze fest.
Well, the game.
It's late.
It was a snooze fest because it was late. The Senators were playing in Vancouver. It was 10 o'clock our time. I had just got back into town from a four-day weekend up at the cottage, and I was exhausted after being outside all day. So I didn't even watch this game. I was just way too tired to try and stay up.
I knew
up
it was
going to
be a slog
midnight.
When I started.
I tweeted game on then fell asleep.
Now, the Senators lost this game in overtime. So they actually got it to overtime.
They stole a point.
They stole.
Did they?
They stole
they
a point.
They didn't steal a point.
Anderson stole a point. Well, having said that, though, I mean, like, Hoffman scored again. A Stone scored. And Turris scored.
Yep.
And that's hey, on that Turris goal, that goal cost Bobby Ryan $1,000.
Yes.
You want to describe what? Why, Pan? The Turris goal cost Bobby Ryan $1,000.
Really? Okay, I don't know the story behind this, so do tell.
It's this crazy, weird fine. No.
It sends money on the board. You're familiar with that, right?
I remember that from last year, yeah.
Where basically you pledge, you know, whatever you want to. It could be crazy things, like $27 for a goal by number 27, Curtis Lazar.
Right.
So
$24 for DeCosta to get waived.
Yeah. So someone
41 if Anderson starts.
Someone suggested Bobby Ryan, like on Twitter. Someone mentioned him, I guess, if I got this right, and suggested he get in on it.
I think he got a couple mentions. So he's like, "What is this?"
So Bobby Ryan, bless his heart, he said, "Okay, I'm in. $1,000 for every goal that Turris scores on the West Coast." Now, was it just that game, or whatever?
Just that game.
That game. So every goal that Turris scores, $1,000.
He's from Burnaby, so
yeah,
local boy.
Local boy Turris. And sure enough, Turris scored.
Boing. Nice.
It's just the fact that he was willing to play along and pitch in. That got him a lot of bonus points, if you will, in the Twitterverse.
Well, he certainly gets a lot of them from me because he's so incredibly honest. I mean, the first thing I remember him ever, the first ever interaction I remember with him was you tweet. I'm pointing at Pan right now. You tweeted out, which jerseys should I wear to, was it a preseason game or an open practice? Should I wear Mathot or should I wear Ryan? And somebody said, oh, it should be Mathot. And you said, okay, I'm wearing Mathot. And his reply was something along the lines of,
clearly the wrong choice.
Obviously not, or something like
clearly
that.
Clearly the wrong choice.
Yeah, I'm going to get the Ryan now.
and I mean, it was you know, it was funny. It was concise, but it was, you know, lighthearted at the same time.
Sure.
Okay. You're awfully interactive. You're awfully personable. Very cool. So he put $1,000 up.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
For every tourist goal.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the shot clown from
I have no idea. So
It was
I heard from what I've been reading this morning and listening
the kid line. They have accounted for most of the goals in these games.
Let's move away from the game last night and to talk about the kid line itself. We can finish that game summary. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that game itself?
Should have played Neil Smith and like one more.
Okay, for sure.
Of course, you can't see the sarcastic look on my face. But
they have the lowest time on ice of the entire team in last game.
They do. But why does it feel like
problem.
It? Why does it feel like it, though?
The time selections were a little bit, last year.
Last night, I'm not worried about it because the whole team was probably tanked and tired. And
no, come on. You had 2 days off.
But the thing is, like, why is it when the Senators get themselves in that situation where they're tired and they're traveled, and it's like they always fall apart. But when the other teams come to us on a back-to-back and they're tired and stuff, we never take advantage of them.
I don't know. It's game day prep.
I mean, it's still a young team, but they got to work on that.
Yeah,
I feel they probably will.
And that's kid. It. So kid line and all of that. I think they're underused.
They certainly seem to be underused. On the other hand, you can't argue with the production. Like, Senster was the guy who was willing to on Twitter stepped out of the box, and he said, "I agree with everybody. I'd like to see them be played more, but just to play devil's advocate, what if they're actually being played the correct amount?"
Which is a very, very shrewd observation. They're being as successful as they are because they're not being overplayed. They're being put out on the right situations for them to be able to succeed.
It depends who the opposition is.
Yes, but at the moment, they're being played in the right amount of ice time and in the right places for them to succeed. And giving them more ice time doesn't necessarily correlate to more production.
Correct, but even you won't know without doing it.
True.
Now, is taking the minutes away from the Leguan line the right thing? In my opinion right now, Because Chris Neal was playing 11 minutes yesterday. Last year, he was playing 16, 17.
So really?
His minutes,
Their minutes are down.
He's got the right amount of minutes now.
I would agree with that. 10 minutes-ish should be Chris Neal time.
That's perfect. The Zibanejad line is dogging it. Yeah, they're dogging it. So all of them.
Offensively, all of yes. Them. Defensively, no.
So that's
because they were the reason that Detroit was shut down as well as they were. That line was brilliant. Absolutely, they were brilliant.
Friggin' awful yesterday.
Well, everybody. Everybody was.
The Lazar line, they will lose the puck, but then get it back and then regain possession.
Yes, but they're not playing against the same quality of player.
Right. So you got to try them out against different levels.
And they are.
But that doesn't mean give them an extra 5 minutes of ice time and they're going to get an extra 50% of production.
Not necessarily, but generally it correlates to that.
It may. I'm not. I don't think you can use.
You don't know if you don't try.
True, but if they suddenly start getting overplayed and their production dips down,
there's 5 minutes left in the game, and you put out the Neal line after TV timeout.
Yes,
and you're losing by one.
Okay, so what line should they put out?
After a TV timeout, either the Turris line or the Lazar line.
It'll come to that.
Depends on what.
It's going to come to that. Basically.
It may come to that, but it's also a matter of he's trying to manage the last 5 minutes of game as a whole.
You're losing.
Yeah.
Try to get the goal.
Even after a TV timeout, it depends on who was just on the ice. They may not have recovered completely. There are a lot of different variables in that. There's a lot of variables.
You just run them dead.
Now, some people are
until they can't play anymore, and then they're out because they get injured.
On that note, though, some people are coming down, and I see a little bit on Lazar because hasn't had the point production. It's mostly assists, and basically Hoffman and Stone are stealing the show. And it's a valid point. Now, devil's advocate, and I'm on the devil's advocate side. Okay. I'm going to argue that is he not maybe the perfect setup guy for these?
He's making the opportunities for them, exactly.
Because he's
completely.
Because he's always in the right place.
He's very sound defensively.
And he's setting up these guys most of the time.
I don't know who put this out today, but in the last seven games, and these stats are very specific per player, and they're not the same. Like, they're not looking at the same categories. Hoffman, 4 goals, 23 shots, plus 5. Lazar, 4 assists, 10 hits, plus 3. Stone, 4 goals, 6 points, plus 2. Shots, hits, points. They're looking at three different things because the players bring something different, each one of them. Yep. And I think that's because of that.
Yes.
Hoffman takes a lot of shots. Stone gets lots of goals, and he and Hoffman have the same number actually. But and Lazar throws a lot of hits. He's very sound that way.
Yeah,
and
Lazar will also hit, get the puck back, and then pass it off.
And he's got assists to show for that. And I think that's why he's helping make the space for the other two. And I think that getting on Lazar, he's not scoring. Yeah, well, neither's Zibanejad.
Neither's Ryan.
Really, as fans.
Yeah, well, I feel sorry for Ryan because he's not being put into a position to be able to score. He's moving from the Zibanejad line to the Turris and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, left wing, right wing, sometimes on the power play, sometimes here and there.
Yep.
He's not being given a rhythm.
And that's why I don't like pairs.
Well, I'd rather see the top line stay as the top three.
Yes.
And if Zibanejad isn't doing it as the second line center, then move him to the wing and put somebody else there.
Swap him up with Lazar.
No, leave Lazar where he is. Leave Lazar with the production that he's getting with the two kids.
Oh, really? Yep. Because he started shaking up that line too, because he put Turris with Hoffman and Stone at some point in the game too.
That was a line change.
I don't know if it was.
That was a line change.
Was it?
Well, that goal that really stuff will happen.
Because I saw some change.
They were talking about it on the radio this morning.
Because I thought it was
in the middle of a line change.
Okay. Well,
and I would like to see, quite frankly, put Smith in there. Put Smith on the second line center for a while. Put Zibanejad on the side on the wing. Why not?
Whatever works to make the Lions' chemistry work.
But leave Ryan with Turris and MacArthur. Just leave him there.
Yes.
Don't keep going, we're trying to get this other guy going, so we're going to move him down. Well, you're screwing with two lines that way, or specifically two different players.
It feels that way,
Yeah. And that's I'm starting to get a little frustrated with that because Ryan can score, but he needs to be in a position. He's a streaky player, and he admits he's a streaky player. Everybody knows he is. But he's not going to be able to be streaky if you're not giving him a chance to get there.
A lot of people freak out because the practice lines. You know, people, that the media nothing. Will tweet the practice lines. They're like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe they're paying. It really means nothing. And I think there's been enough hockey personalities on TSN 1200 that have kind of basically said, you know, that doesn't mean anything. Some coaches like to do that to send a message, but come game time, it's back to what it is. It's just
the coach actually said a couple of weeks ago, he said, we practice different lines in practice because
it's if
somebody gets hurt and we suddenly need to put these players together, I'd like them to have played together at some point so that they know at least a little bit about each other. It's not necessarily what's going to happen in the game. It's we're trying something out more than anything.
Long term on this team, Zibanejad's going to move to the wing.
I think that might be the case.
Because forget this of having him at center. Forget it. And you got Turris and Lazar. Lazar will eventually take over first.
Yeah, but that's going to take a few years.
Right, but you got Turris.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if you put Lazar with Zibanejad on his right, they can be one hell of a tandem. And I don't know if they've done it yet.
Don't know.
Chiasson hasn't done anything.
No, he's been sound defensively, but he hasn't really done anything as far as scoring. And I mean, that's the problem with that whole second line is they've been sound defensively, but they're not scoring. And that's what a second line is supposed to be able to do.
So the second line's a third line, the fourth line's a second line, the third line's a fourth line.
Well, they're all juggled around as to where they should be, yeah. It's hard to say. I've been very happy with Lazar. I'm really happy that Stone is showing that he should be in the NHL.
And
I'm also very happy that Hoffman is because a lot of people.
My goodness, yeah.
I didn't think that he was going to last.
Well, actually, your quote last year was to me, this was your exact quote from just the beginning of last season.
There we go.
You said, do you still think he has second line potential if he clears waivers? And he cleared waivers. Well, he's playing, you just said it. The fourth line is the second line. I don't think
used in second line. I think he's a good third line.
I think with the
I think he's a waste fourth line. But
I think that I honestly think that Stone, Lazar, Hoffman could be a second line in another season or two, like a genuinely second line, as that trio.
At the age of 27.
Yeah. How old's Bobby Ryan?
I think we're gonna have some better options. Yeah, but Ryan is upper echelon skill.
Yes, but
I think he just needs more natural talent.
I think those three of them could
be. If they're playing that way for years, great.
I'm okay with it.
But I don't foresee that happening. Or somebody else would come through and
could be. Or somebody may come in with maybe a trade.
We're extremely thin on left wing.
Oh, we could always trade Zibanejad to get left wing. Chris Stewart, no. No. And that keeps coming up, and I just don't know why people keep bringing it up. I really don't know why people keep bringing it up.
I think Tim Murray's just begging for favors.
Please?
So, especially after this week or these six games, this team needs Mark Methot. Badly.
I'm not so sure of that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's not going to be playing probably before the end of the month. He's on this road trip because that's where the strength and conditioning coach is. That's why he's there.
That's okay.
Yeah. Because the strength and conditioning coach went on the trip. That's why he's there. He's not going to be playing.
We're outshot 37-24 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds typical.
Pretty much. Especially in a bad game.
It's a tight game too, right?
Anderson's going to come back down to earth here eventually. It's going to suck. So we need to right the ship.
I don't think the problem is the defensive core. I don't think that's the primary problem. Honestly, I don't.
System.
No, I don't think it's that either. I think it's that the forwards aren't doing enough to get to be back and back checking and getting in the way and taking the puck away, which is what the puck possession system is supposed to do. And if they're not there, the defensemen, they're only two. And I mean, honestly, I will say, I didn't see last night's game, but overall of all the play I've seen since he went back in the lineup, I've been very happy with the way Jared Cowan has been playing.
Yes.
Very happy.
He's cleaned it up.
You know who I think gets the credit?
Jason Smith.
Exactly. Because what was Jared Cowan in junior? Big and strong.
Good?
Big and strong and scored a lot of points.
Okay.
What was Jason Smith? Big and strong and scored a lot of points and was told, you want to play? You got to become big and nasty and defensive. And I think that's what Jason Smith is doing.
Good on him.
Because a lot of players can score a lot of points. If you're big and strong, you can score a lot of points as a defenseman in junior. Happens. Chris Phillips did it. Chris Phillips is not known as a point scorer now, but he scored a lot of points.
I don't know if he did. He was like 10 goals or something like that. He had a ton of assists.
Exactly. Well, there you go. There's points.
Yeah.
But he was
always a shutdown.
He's always been he came in and his role became a shutdown guy. And that's what Jared Cowan needs to do. And I think Jason Smith is the perfect role model for that. Honestly.
Yeah, but time's starting to wear out on Cowan to get better. He's 24, 25 now.
Yeah. How old was Chara when he came here?
Okay, so going back to that too.
Yes.
Because I know that we've mentioned this before. How good of an organization are the New York Islanders?
They're awful. They've been awful for quite a while.
Chara was all Randy Lee.
Yeah.
All Randy Lee.
Yeah. Okay.
Randy Lee did the same with Turris.
Yes.
He's like, you're coming here, your conditioning and everything else doesn't make sense.
So they rearranged
his conditioning. So we rearranged it. Yeah. Cowan's been under this system since day one.
He's also been very badly hurt for an entire season.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
This is hockey IQ. Sorry. The problems from the start of the year were hockey IQ. He didn't know where to go. He didn't know what to look at.
I think he was playing
the wrong
style and with the wrong player.
The most difficult player in the world to play.
I agree. And now that he's playing
away from
him.
Down. I wouldn't mind seeing him again with Carlson.
I'm in no rush for it, but it'll probably happen at some point. But I'd rather leave him where he's doing well. And I can't even tell you. I think he's playing with CeCe, isn't he?
CeCe's been great.
Most of the time?
Yeah, I haven't seen him.
Because you don't notice him.
Or if he does mess up, he gets it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that arrangement. Honestly, I am. So
I just think that we're better with Mathot in the lineup.
I think we have the potential to be. I want to see him actually play before I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
Because, last year everybody had a bad year, him included. So
he stopped hitting.
Well, yeah.
Because he kept getting called for the hip checks that he was throwing. Because he killed off one of the Penguins, and then he just kept getting penalties.
Well, he killed off Sidney Crosby into
the hip checks.
What's
Pascal
his name? Dupree.
Yep.
There we go. So we'll see when I'm not going to anoint him as the savior till he's actually playing. Hmm.
Hey, on an interesting how penalties affect you kind of thing. You recall a few games ago, I believe this goes back past our recaps. Curtis Lazar was given an embellishment penalty. I think that was the Wild game.
Yeah. That was
given
awful.
An embellishment game, a diving penalty.
For getting a high stick.
Yeah.
And since then, he's got two high sticks, no call. Hit in the face, no call.
Really?
One was last night.
Nice.
Now, the referee
The last one, he had to put the whistle away because it was like with 2 minutes left.
They always put the whistle away 2 minutes left.
Yeah, if it's
wasn't a bad one.
It wasn't terrible, but it's just...
And I think he was on his way down.
But there was also...
When you see these chintzy calls made.
And it was a terrible call. It was a terrible call when he was given that embellishment call in the Wild game. Like, the ref was just like, oh, that's an embellishment. Because he called an embellishment penalty against the Wild later in the same game.
Yes.
It's like,
a makeup call.
Here's your makeup call.
That's right. You were joking about it. It's the word of the day, embellishment.
Yeah. The word of the day. Just ridiculous.
Actually,
there was nothing worse than when in the Pittsburgh playoffs series, when I think it was Matt Cook, just high sticked Carlson in the face.
Carlson
got a diving for whipping his head back.
Yeah, because
there a high stick call? No.
Yeah, so
it's just diving.
Yeah, that's diving because it didn't actually happen. That's an embellishment. No. I'm sorry, it's not a Plekanec.
Funny thing about embellishment, as I was during that call, I was walking up the stairs from where we were sitting. I was going to, I guess, the washroom, and I heard there's like two ushers at the at the top of the entryway, and as they're making the penalty call, I heard them say, "What's embellishment?" They said, "Diving." So like, what? So that really was the word of the day there.
It really was the word of the day at that
garbage
game. You wanted to talk about attendance. I'm pointing at Ben, to the listener who can't see me. You wanted me to put a note in to talk about attendance.
No.
You don't want to talk about it?
I don't remember what my thought was.
Okay, then we won't talk about that.
My thought.
What was your thought?
Couple of quick references to bingo, because I do this. Binghamton is not playing. They are struggling. They are currently 4-7-2, and they are last in the East Division. However, there are a couple of... there's one bright light. Defenseman Chris Weidman was the AHL Player of the Week for the week ending November 2nd, which was just as we recorded our last episode. And he also leads the team in points with 8 goals and 9 assists.
You would never want a defenseman to lead the team in points.
Wait. That's what's happening. The other quick note on prospects is defenseman Ben Harper, who was the 2003 fourth round pick, signed a 3-year entry contract. He's currently playing in the OHL for the Guelph Storm and will likely be on the Canada World Junior team for the juniors, which will be the round robin is in Montreal and the playoffs and medal round games are in Toronto.
Guelph Storm, is that Connor McDavid's team?
No, that's the
Erie Otters. Sorry.
Yeah, he's out.
I like Harper.
He's out with a broken bone in his hand.
Oh, this is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, because
sarcastic.
What was the
no?
Right now, the estimates are that he will be back just in time for the World Juniors. Literally.
So
he's still going to go first overall.
Oh, he will. No, of course. I want to see him play in the World Juniors. I really want to see him play in the World Juniors. Also, because Eichel will be playing for the U.S. I really want to see the two of them play. That would be, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Any other Senator stuff you want to talk about?
I was going back to the...
Oh, actually.
And I'm very happy that Harper was very good in the rookie camp.
Yes.
Very good. I don't know if he came to main camp. I'm probably confusing him with Buddy Robinson still loved.
No, you are. Because I think he was sent back before the main camp happened. Or he might have been at the very, very beginning of it. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah.
But now with Lazar up, who are our top prospects left? Like elite-style prospects.
You're catching me off guard with this question.
I don't think.
Because there have been some changes down in Binghamton.
Maybe Pumple, but he
Pumple's
sucks,
there. Right? Clayson and Weidman on the blue line. Forwards, Robinson, Zingle. Ryan Zingle. He was...
These are bottom six guys, so...
Well, for NHL level, yes, probably.
Yes, yeah.
But do we need a whole lot of top six forwards, considering how young our team is?
We need one.
Well, yeah, we may get one. We may trade for one.
Yeah.
Never know. Hard to say.
We've got too many guys.
Well...
What do you do when Mathot comes back?
Don't know yet.
No, because you got one roster spot that you got to drop.
Send Lazar back to junior?
Someone has
really?
Well?
You burned the year.
You burned the year on the entry level, but you haven't burned it towards free agency.
For maybe, what he's doing on this team right
maybe
now.
Somebody gets injured.
Throwing it out there. Maybe somebody else gets injured.
And if they're not injured, maybe they
get injured.
Are told they're injured.
Okay. Actually, before we leave
I still think they should try to waive Greening. Just see if there's someone that wants to take him.
But if they waive him, we still pay half the salary.
If he gets picked up?
Yeah. Don't we?
No, because that's re-entry.
That's re-entry. So if they wait...
Which re-entry doesn't exist anymore. So if Tim Murray really wants to tank it and picks up Colin Greening, he's off the books.
Hmm?
If he goes down, someone gets hurt, you can just call him up.
I don't know if Tim Murray has right the back. Space on his roster at the moment.
Well, then he can trade Chris Stewart.
Well, he's been trying.
There's like there's 8 teams that want him, right?
So. Yeah, I don't think so. Actually, before we leave the Senators, we had an email from Ivan White. I'll read this one. I haven't read an email yet this season. So you can just listen and then you can answer.
Okay.
Ivan White. The subject is depth. Okay. I might ruffle a few feathers with this.
Didn't I?
What?
I probably just killed that with my last statement.
I didn't
read this email either.
Oh, good. I might ruffle a few feathers with this, but... Are the Sens the deepest team in the NHL without an established elite top line?
That's what she said.
Looking down the roster, I see a plethora of really great second line players, but no established elite top line.
Mm.
Maybe this is a good thing, because if these are the dark growing pain days of this generation of Senators, then I'm content to watch them grow into whatever McLean and the team can establish as the identity in the future. Keep up the excellent work on the podcast. Until next time, work harder! Love, Ivan. Loyal Waver.
Donator.
Waver.
I kind of like that, actually.
Waver.
Wavers.
The call-ups listeners are waivers.
Waivers, Loyal Waivers.
That might work.
W-A-I-V-E-R.
Yeah, Waiver, W-A-I-V-E-R. Yes. So is
Let us know if you like that.
Is this the deepest team in the NHL without an established elite top line? That's the question. What say you?
I don't know.
Without an established top line?
Top line.
I'd probably say that's Buffalo. They don't have a top line. They don't have a second line. But they've got a whole bunch of picks. So yeah. Depth-wise, they're probably better than us.
Long-term, if the picks pan out. Yep. Possibly.
Do we have a top line within the organization? I would say so.
But no, I think he's talking about right now. Do we have a bona fide top line right now?
Right now? I'd probably say no.
I would say no because I've said in the past that I don't believe that Kyle Turris is a bona fide top line center. Yeah, he's a very good second line center, but he's doing the job of a first line center. But I'm not convinced that long term he really is that role.
Yeah. Thanks again for selling Dallas to Jason Spezza with friggin' Sergei Gonchar.
Speaking of.
Yeah.
Yeah. He made the news.
Jukebot.
We can talk about him next if you like. But you
first line. Calgary? Calgary is just a hodgepodge of things.
Well, I think the question is, does Ottawa have a top line? Not are there other teams that don't have them?
No, but Calgary doesn't have a top line. And has a lot of depth. I don't know if they have depth yet.
They're getting there. They certainly are getting very good goaltending at the moment. Strangely good goaltending.
I have no idea who's in Phoenix.
Oh,
and they've got Max Domi, so he's the next coming of Christ.
Yeah, not so much. He's very successful for the London Knights. Florida? But does Ottawa have one? Or do you think they'll have one in the future? Based on what's in the system.
Better depth without a top line.
Hmm?
That's what he's asking, right?
No, he's just saying, are they the deepest team without an established top line? Well,
no, because the teams that I'm naming, like Florida.
I think they have more potential depth. I don't know whether they have real depth. Buffalo, they don't have real depth at the moment, because if they had real depth, they'd be a better team. Because they'd use some of it. They have the potential for really good depth with a lot of picks.
So Florida.
Again, they have the potential for a lot of depth. Yes. But
if Florida wins their game, they're going to be tied with the Senators.
Are they playing tonight?
They've got
two games in hand. They win them both, I guess. They'll be tied with points for the Senators.
But their depth is like Ekblad. They've got a lot of really good young players that I think are better than the depth players that Ottawa's got. But that's because they've been so terrible that you're getting the first overall picks, the fifth overall picks.
Well, they've been so terrible for so long. They've got a lot of...
Yeah. So do they have a top line? No.
But
do they have better depth than Ottawa? Yeah. Is it all playing up here? Yeah, it is.
And are they going to be able to keep it?
Probably. Brian Campbell's got to come off the books at some point.
No, I'm not talking money-wise. I'm talking about are they going to be able to keep it, or are players going to start getting frustrated playing for an organization that just...
They're locked up.
You mean like in Edmonton?
Huberto's got 2 years in the league. Two or three. So he's stuck there for another four.
Well, that's what people said about Kyle Turris in Arizona.
Tax free. It's nice. It's fun.
So what are you suggesting?
Then they're going to move to Quebec City.
But then they're professional athletes who really want to win. It's nice to live in a beautiful environment that's tax free, but do you really want to do that and continually lose? To an empty building? Hard to say.
I
can't get in the psyche of a professional athlete because I'm not one.
Florida's going to be a good team in 2 to 4. I would say that they're probably going to be a good team when Ottawa's a good team in the 2 to 4 years from now. Are they going to be in Florida anymore at that point? Doubt it.
That's a hard one to say.
Bill Daly was in Vegas, by the way.
Yes, there's been a lot of talk about Dallas, about Vegas, with their new arena that they're building.
Loves Vegas.
However, in 2 to 4 years, in 2 years, Roberto Luongo was 37. In 4 years, he's 39.
Yeah, but they've got him for contract for another like 18 years or something like that.
Is Roberto Luongo at 39 going to be as good as he is now?
Robot Luongo will be.
What?
He just replaces pieces. Bionic Man.
Yes, he's under contract until 2022.
Yeah, they're screwed. Actually, they're not screwed. The Canucks are screwed.
Yes, because if he retires early.
It's like a recapture on them and
they
on.
They get the recapture, exactly.
And no, Florida's scot-free.
Exactly. That's why I was like, I'm not, it's possible. Anyway, good email, Ivan. Thank you. Keep sending them. We were talking very briefly there about Sergei Gonchar going to Montreal.
Welcome back to the North.
I think it's a brilliant move by Montreal and a salary dump to get rid of Travis Moen because they need the money next year. They're young defensemen.
This is Gonchar's last year, right?
Yes. Beaulieu and Tenorti have been struggling. Tenorti's already been sent back to Hamilton.
Yeah.
So bring in Gonchar to help him play with Beaulieu. They have the money for cap this year. He's off the books as of next year. We know that he was very good with young defensemen here.
Yeah.
He can still be they can leave PK Subban and Markov playing on the first power play and have Gonchar quarterback the second one. Smart move. Very smart move. And I mean, Travis Moen, grinder, no offensive upside, making $1.85 million this year and next year.
They don't really have that many expensive players except for Subban, and Price isn't even that expensive.
And Rene Bork buried in the minors. $3.33 million buried.
Meh.
It's
like our greedy.
Well, they can afford it. Big I just deal. Think it's funny. Bah. But it still counts against the cap. You don't get to write it off because he's like in the minors.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like greening.
Yeah, everybody's got one. Well, almost everybody's got one.
This greening does make that much.
2 point something.
This year.
Yeah.
It's going to get expensive.
Now, honest question. This is about the only other thing I really had to talk about with other teams. Now that we've been in the new broadcast regime for about 6 weeks of regular season, what do you think? For Rogers and the national broadcast.
Eh.
I think I've been going to the games more than watching them on TV. Honestly, I don't remember watching them on TV.
Well, that's just it for me, too.
Yeah, I've been to a remarkable number of games so far this season. It's been weird.
TSN panel's phenomenal.
I like TSN. I like the regional broadcast with TSN. I don't have a problem with their play-by-play, their color guys. I like that. I like the regional broadcast. The national broadcast, I find it. This is not just the Senators, but I just mean the national broadcast. Period.
Yeah.
It's dull.
It's weird.
I don't want to say amateur hour. That's being a little unnecessarily harsh. It just isn't as polished and as crisp and intelligent and insightful and.
Well, I don't know.
They're not hockey guys.
You got Strombo and Healy and stuff standing in front of the net and drawing and and showing how the. Pucks would go in and the angles are. And
I don't have a problem with George Strombolopoulos being the host because he's trying – what they're trying to do is they're trying to broaden the audience for Hockey Night in Canada overall. So he's hosting it from a non-hockey, ex-hockey player point of view to try and make it more familiar to people. And it's different from the way it's been done before, but I don't have a problem with it. I find that the analysis and panels and that sort of thing – it just isn't up to the TSN regional. Like, if I'm comparing the two, there is no comparison at
James
all.
James Duthie is cold.
Yeah.
And well, I really like the Ottawa-ish or Ottawa presence in that panel.
But, I mean, if you're trying to compare Duthie, Drager, McKenzie, and the rest of the guys that TSN
Aaron
have.
Aaron Ward.
There's just
not nobody. Jeff O'Neill.
There's just no comparison to what Rogers is bringing out. There's just not the quality of personnel.
Yeah.
And it shows. It even shows compared to what CBC was doing before.
I don't understand why Glenn Healy is so thought of so great.
I don't either, but I never have. I just never have.
Like, there's so many guys that are better than him.
Yes.
This is somewhat related, but last night I was watching the game on Game Center, because I don't have cable anymore. And... now, for those familiar with Game Center, you can pick the home feed or the away feed. But usually one feed will show you just everything, including the commercials and the intermissions and stuff. Where the other feed, when it comes to commercial break or intermission, you just get the black screen saying this game will resume soon.
Right.
So I usually will default, unless I'm really ticked off, to the one that has the commercials. So last night for Vancouver, the one that had everything was the Rogers Pacific. Sorry, Sportsnet Pacific.
Sportsnet Pacific.
Sportsnet Pacific. And then, of course, if you're here tuned in on TV, you would have the TSN.
It was TSN 5.
Yeah. So complete better. I actually switched. I was getting annoyed. Those Rogers Sportsnet Pacific guys, now I'm sure on the West Coast, they're used to them. But man, were
Greg Millions or something like that?
No, that's TSN. Whoever they were, it's just so boring. It was not engaging.
Vancouver.
You've heard those. You definitely heard these voices. These are names. Like these are top talent names, supposedly. But when the late games are on CBC, it was the same voices. It's those guys, and it just nasally boring. Even when the Canucks score, it's just
not Jim Houston.
No, not Jim.
Oh, that's CBC.
No.
Yeah, but there's CBC Sportsnet all tied up.
I couldn't believe how boring they made the game sound, and especially when it was late at night and, you know, already trying to struggle and stay awake. I had to switch it.
So they were really getting to you that, well, I mean, if you're used to one thing or another, we're spoiled, I think, in Ottawa.
Maybe we just are spoiled, yeah.
But because we've had Dean Brown for so long.
Yeah.
And we are spoiled.
But even
with
now,
that.
It's.
Yeah, even now, it's okay.
No, that's the TSN guys.
Rick Ball. That's the name that I found.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, sorry. That's Calgary Flames. Sorry. That's Calgary Flames.
Anyway. Whatever it was, I just found them very dry. Oh. And they're putting me to sleep.
That's unfortunate.
And it was late.
Well, that doesn't help either.
Right. And that's all the jokes were in the forum. It was about staying awake. Even the people in... Well, TJ, who's in California,
he's left coast.
SensCat in Calgary was even near the end admitting that they're getting tired. They're 2-3 hours ahead or behind.
It's late.
Corey Perry and Francois Beauchemin have the mumps.
Well, I heard a viral thing was going on, so I didn't know it was the mumps.
Yeah, that's ugly. They have the mumps.
Light them up then. There, that'll fix it. Anything else? Should we get to the week to come and get out of here?
Sure.
It's getting late. Right. Actually, before we get to the week to come, two thank yous to pass along. We have two waivers who have made donations this week. So thank you to Josh DeLorme and to Patrick Bednarek. Both sent us a little, a nice gift, actually, each one of them.
Yes, huge thank you.
So a huge thank you to both of them. They're always appreciated. I don't like begging for money, so it's really nice when it comes to you.
Come on, Vinny, I gave you a bobblehead.
And that's right. Easy now. It was Canuck used part of it to buy beer today. It's been very delicious because he brought one of my favorites, which is Flying Monkey's Optical Illusion.
We don't really use it to buy beer. But we like to joke about it.
I better audit that account.
I just like to throw it out there.
It's been 3 years and I haven't seen any of it.
Exactly. The week to come. Actually, the week to come is going to be pretty quiet.
Thank God, because 6-game recaps is ridiculous. I don't remember this game. Next.
Tomorrow will be game 16 of Thursday, November 13th. The Senators will be playing in Edmonton at 9:30 Eastern time.
Take your pregame naps.
And then Saturday, November 15th, the Senators will be in Calgary at 10 o'clock Eastern time. And that will be a national game. That'll be the late game on CBC.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Actually, Puddle Ducks in town.
On Saturday,
so he wants to get together to watch that game.
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe. I'll throw something into the forums if anyone wants to come. Homer, I'm looking at you. you haven't come out to these things yet.
Easy now. Don't call people out. Just offer them.
All right, Homer. I would like for you to come to this.
You get better response with honey than vinegar.
And whoever else wants to come out.
Yeah. It'd be fun. Saturday is a couple of days away. I'm not sure what I'm doing Saturday yet. Big surprise. I have no memory for that sort of thing.
Bugs mullet, let a mump.
Eek. It's good. Not good. All right. Well, folks, please send us email. Please send us email at podcast@sendscop.com. We haven't been getting too much email lately. I want more. I want
16
more things.
You're alive. Let us know what you're up to.
I was looking at the stats on the website to see where people are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of Russell doing the Sens Underground thing. Because there's someone in United Arab Emirates. And I'm like,
that's
send us your email.
That's used to be in the UK. I'm blanking on a name.
I know your friend. And there's people on
BBC
Australia.
Alex.
I think so.
He's in UAE now?
Isn't he in UAE?
UAE? I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, or if I'm right, send us an email.
Email the show.
Somebody in Kenya, email the show.
Oh, that's James. That's James. He's actually moving back soon.
Okay, James.
My buddy James.
All right. Somebody in Australia and New Zealand.
Right on.
Email the show, mate.
Yeah. Email us. Let us know who you are, when you're listening, how you're listening.
Chuck us a tanty and email the show.
Labru, where are you?
Yeah, we haven't heard from Labru in a while. So I would like to get more email because it makes my life a little easier if we have things to talk about, because this week, this show is a little free form because I was offline completely for almost 5 days.
I was moving.
And we didn't have a whole lot of show topics to talk about. That's why our game summaries were so long.
6 games.
We had a lot of games to cover, but some of those summaries were pretty long. So send us email.
A lot less jokes this week, too.
Yeah, sorry. We don't have a professional comedian sitting
there. Yeah, really?
We'll have to work on
that. It's all downhill from here. But it's still free.
Contact us via Twitter if you prefer. And please retweet anything you like, because that's how we get our word out about us and everything else. Join our Facebook group. Join us in the online forums at sensecallups.com for game threads, especially for late night games if you're trying to stay awake. Anything else? No? Good. Let's get out of here. Sorry for the delay from the last episode to this one. We'll try and get back to once a week, but we'll see. Things happen all the time with people moving and that sort of stuff. So on behalf of Pan and Canuck, thanks very much for listening. Good night.